Hey, it's Cody.
And Matt, and thanks for joining us for another episode of
The ComaCast. Matt, we're going to be diving into all things involving the LGBT community, including our own lives.
And don't forget our cats.
We don't want to forget them. The ComaCast starts now.
Podcasting from the Lone Star State in Southern California, you're listening to The Coma Podcast with Cody and Matt.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to The ComaCast. We thank you for joining us here for another episode. Today, we're going to be talking about cannabis and the LGBTQ community and how we look back at history, and it really did keep us alive. And as we look towards the future, we can see that the LGBTQ community has been a force for legalizing cannabis in many states. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, Matt, I just saw this the other day. There was like an article talking about it, and then it's kind of been the buzz on Twitter and TikTok and whatever. And I don't know what the answer is, what you're going to say, but did you know, and do you have an inner monologue? Because some people do not have an inner monologue. There's just nothing going on in their head. Like, is there stuff going on in your head? You're like,
that's the 50-50.
Okay.
I mean, I have ADD, so yep. I didn't know that there was, I thought everybody did, but it's kind of, I don't want to say like talking to yourself, but it's more like sometimes it's like a running commentary on what's happening in front of me. And then other times it's just radio silence in there. And the only thing in there is like the noise of like my brain's racing thoughts, but I'm not sure if that's a monologue or just racing thoughts. Cause that's just normal for me. That's kind of my baseline.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like what I've seen online is caused like a lot of debate, like strong debate on both sides, because, and I guess for people who have inner monologues, do what?
Do you have one?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, I was like,
yes, I definitely do. Like, I'm always, I feel like my inner monologue is me basically talking to myself. So if no one's not around, I guess will be talking to myself sometimes. Thankfully, I have cats, so I don't look too crazy. Online, it's just like I think people are shocked that there is a possibility that you can't have an inner monologue. And as someone who does have an inner monologue, it's hard to think what that even is like,
that there might be silence in my damn brain. The only time I didn't have anything going on in there at all was when I was on Strattera for the ADHD. Mm-hmm. And so that means the med was a success, because it was very quiet, and it was actually peaceful, because like I could hear myself think. I had never experienced that in my entire life. So I was getting ready to take a winter master class right when I took that med, and I just tore through that class like nothing. I did so well. I think I had a 99.1 in the class. It's a class you do in 3 weeks over the winter. Mm. So it's like a 6-week class condensed, but it's the only class you take, and it's a lot of work. I just did it. Ripped right through it. And that was my first 2 months on the med. But after 3 or 4 months, it takes you too far. And it was more of like, instead of it just being quiet, it goes from quiet with your thoughts to just thoughtless to the, if you remember, if you watch some of the 2021 episodes, there was a lot of takes on some of those, because I couldn't remember what we were doing. Like, I can remember like you asked me a question and me going, can you ask me the question again? I have no idea what the hell you just said. So that was the only time I've ever experienced silence in there.
Yeah.
And I just assumed everybody had some sort of, how do you talk out? So like, if you're sitting there working on a puzzle in front of you, are you just staring at it? Are you talking out logic? Are you talking about how you're going to do it? Or when you think, oh man, I need to go ask my parents that, are you talking it out loud, or is it happening in your head? Do you have like a commentary happening in your head? Like, oh, you know, and I think that's like,
yeah, I mean,
they think before you speak, and it's not about the thoughts. What you're hearing isn't a pre-thought. It's that you're hearing their inner monologue out loud, which can be devastating.
You know, it's basically a narration of what is currently occurring. Yeah. You know, like if you see Inside Out, the Disney Pixar movie, and you have the emotions going on in your head, you just have like this, like, narration person going on in your head constantly. There was a Harvard University study that linked visual and verbal thinking and how that they are highly linked together. And people often think of themselves, they say, as being more verbal or visual, one or the other, but this isn't necessarily the case. In fact, people with clear inner monologues typically have a stronger mental visual to accompany their verbal thoughts.
A lot of people are tactile, or like a combo of both. That's more of my style of learning. What's your style? Like, how do you learn best?
Yeah, I think hands-on.
Yeah. I mean, hands-on will help me, but I also kind of tailor to a situation. Like with nursing, no, I'm not going to be gung-ho jumping into something because it's the first time I've done it and there's a patient's body in front of me.
I guess overall, since we do have that inner monologue, we are superior to those who do not have an inner monologue because they apparently we do have a stronger mental visual connection to accompany our verbal thoughts. Okay. Right. Coming up, we're going to be talking about how cannabis is part of the LGBTQ history and how it really did help keep us alive. That's coming up next. Hey, everybody, and we are back, and we are going to be discussing cannabis as part of the LGBTQ history and how it really did keep us alive. There was a period of time during the AIDS epidemic. People didn't want to put any research towards it, and it was just kind of like written off as a the gay disease. Basically, the LGBTQ community had to like take care of themselves. In doing so, they started using cannabis, and that would be used as a medical relief for those who were suffering from AIDS at the time and to help them because no one else was helping them. I think you can see parallels to the current time. Like with monkeypox, there was kind of a lack of national leadership. And so it was LGBTQ communities that really helped with delivering and spreading out those doses of the monkeypox vaccine.
Like you said, monkeypox. What happened? We're like, all right, everybody change practices. And, you know, there's always been people who ignore that. But for the most part, you know, I mean, we've seen cases, the whole cases are falling. We don't know why. No, you are ignoring why, but I think the rest of us know why. Same thing with cannabis. Like, it is not surprising. And it's like, why are, I mean, I personally thought everything should just be decriminalized. I mean, yeah, if you're under the influence and driving, that's obviously a problem, but that's a problem no matter what. That's a problem if you take certain prescription painkillers. If you get in the car and drive, you're probably going to cause an accident. There's punishment for that. But the whole point is you take your meds or whatever you're going to do and you stay home or in a friend's or wherever you're at. Just don't get behind the wheel. And, but of course we know, Cody, you know, you and I obviously remember the Jeff Sessions war on drugs. I think you can hear the eyes rolling from here. And I mean, it's us. So we're like, oh God, here we go. I remember being a teenager and I'm like, we don't have other problems. We have no other problems to dump this much money and time in. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about addiction and, you know, somebody who finds themselves addicted and wants help. Yes, where are the resources for that? You know, everybody's worried about, you're so concerned. Okay, you're so concerned about drugs. All you're doing is fighting the end results. But putting nonviolent people who use drugs behind bars is stupid. And you're so concerned about it, but there's no really education enough. There's not enough education. And then we, of course, you know, we have mental health. I feel like in our country, what we mostly promote is punishment rather than help. You know, yeah. You get wasted at 25 years old, get behind the wheel and smash into somebody at a stoplight and kill a couple people. Yeah, you should be punished because you did something really fucking bad. But being punished so aggressively for possession of drugs, but you have no history, you're not doing anything, you're literally just sitting in your house. Look, if you want to sit in your house and use coke or meth or whatever, go for it. Don't care. You know?
Yeah.
How does that affect your neighbor? How does that affect anybody else? It doesn't. And then, of course, all the places that have legalized it, you know, are experiencing like surpluses in their local economies, you know? And
well, you know, you see all the states that have legalized it. Nothing terrible has happened like that was proposed would happen, that the world would end. And it's like, no, not at all. But the majority, I think it's like 70% of Americans support legalization of cannabis. So, I mean, it is there. And people talk about it kind of follows the line of how like the opinion on gay marriage had shifted over time. And then basically the cannabis has shifted in support of cannabis, basically at the same percentage levels. You know, some things take longer or shorter. And, you know,
people see, we're just people, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like mind blowing when earlier, I think, you know, so I came out in 05, when people would come to my apartment and stuff, and they're like, oh, your house is so clean for two guys. I'm like, Jesus. Like, you know, like stereotypes that are, we laugh about them, but at the same time, people vote based on that. Mm-hmm. My parents do not think I should be, they've never come out and said it, but they absolutely do not think I could be a parent. My ex-husband's parents said that we wouldn't be good parents. And I'm like, interesting, because we're the only ones of like, where both of us are employed in a stable house, but okay, because that's just what they think and believe, and they don't have to provide a justification. I just do is a good enough reason to go out and vote, you know, against us. Yeah. And so my sister, the last couple of conversations I have had with her have been her on FaceTime just sitting there smoking weed the whole time to deal with her anxiety while telling me, I really wish the LGBT people had a safe place to be, but you know, we're in. And I'm like, but, and my words to her were, but you're not going to vote to anybody that would protect your brother, your ex-husband, and your daughter, and your two other sisters. Three of her siblings are gay, like, yeah, out of like six. And we don't all share the same set of parents. So, but that's that is the mentality behind it. There's not really, because when you challenge her or other people like it, you just kind of get the head shaking. And, you know, and I think people, they use the for the children thing, and it's like, yeah, generally teenagers should not be playing with mind-altering substances because your brain is not fully developed. We know that. Like, okay, but that's not going to stop teenagers from doing what teenagers are going to do. Pretending abstinence-only education does not work. I can tell you, excellent birth control, come sit in nursing school with me and watch what happens to your body.
I think, like, when we think of, like, cannabis in the LGBTQ community, and like in more recent time with the monkeypox situation, you had healthcare providers not wanting to provide the care for those who caught monkeypox. One, they didn't know anything about it and didn't want to learn anything about it. Or two, it was a lot of paperwork and they didn't want to deal with a lot of paperwork that was involved. So, you know, well, so you had,
it's a gay disease.
Yeah. And you had a lot of gay bars or LGBTQ organizations kind of getting together and letting each other know which doctors were giving that care to help, so you could go to that person. And that was kind of like it was back in the day. These bars or these organizations would give out cannabis to HIV patients to help with the pain care because medical professionals at the time wouldn't give them any care.
They wouldn't come near them. And if they were in the hospital, they would just avoid them. They wouldn't go into the room. They wouldn't touch them. They wouldn't, you know, that's why it was such a big deal for Princess Diana to hold babies and shake hands. Like, so I saw a lot after the Queen passed, you know, we saw, you know, of course it rehashed the death of Princess Diana, and people say, okay, she shook hands with a baby. What's the big deal? I'm like, in that time, our people were left to just die alone and afraid, having no idea really what was still happening to them. And understanding that somebody with such a huge platform known all around the world would say, okay, well, it's a child, it's a human, it's a person. And to do that was, that's what was so huge. And as you pointed out, things like cannabis for pain relief, long ignored, and whose pain is often ignored. Even now, gays, women, especially Black women and brown women, just completely ignored. You know, their pain and their symptoms. That I believe it's so breast cancer, it actually affects white women more often. However, Black women are more likely to die from it. That I mean, that.
Well, you know, you have in that case, Black women and women in general, they're not believed a lot of times by doctors. Doctors will just kind of be like, put them off and not really listen to them. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm the doctor, you know, kind of situation. Yes. And so what happened with the LGBTQ community during the AIDS crisis does continue today for minority groups.
And it will continue. If you have a homophobic doctor, good luck, you know. That's why we're so lucky to have people like Dr. Jake, who is a gay man, who is a provider. And, you know, I have seen him and many other medical Twitter and people that have gotten their own shots and everything posting and sharing, saying, hey, go here and get your shot. Hey, it's open in this city. Go there. I'll go with you. I'll take you. Do you need a ride? Like that communication, even when it's one and two people at a time, that's one less person that has to experience something like monkeypox, mm-hmm. you know. Finding out dispensaries are open. Yeah, some people smoke recreationally, but some people struggle with such terrible anxiety and pain from treatments that we don't even know they're going through, that is the only relief. And everyone's talking about like, oh, we need to punish these people for possession, or we don't need to punish them. How about we just start with what it is and why is it classified that way? I think it's like a class... It's class that we can get felonies for it. I can't remember the exact name for it, but it shouldn't be because there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. Seeing people like go on, the number of cannabis related overdoses has doubled. Bitch, please. That is just such a falsehood.
Yeah. You know?
Such a freaking lie.
I think the positive thing, despite all of that propaganda that is put out there by different talking heads, you still have that large percentage of Americans, Republican, Democrat, Independent, who do support legalization. So thankfully, despite a lot of that propaganda that is put out there, the majority of people do support legalization. I think one interesting thing about that is there are a lot of conservatives who do use cannabis.
We have people who have been in office up there, and I'm not trying to sound like an ageist dick here, but we have people that, a lot of them, who have literally been there since before civil rights happened. You know, like they were there when our parents were school age in elementary school. And yeah, some of them have rolled with the times and have realized that, hey, you know, things are changing and they will continue to change just as they have since the beginning of human history. But there's not a balance of people. The problem isn't that older people are there and that were there before civil rights. It's that like all of them are.
Well, and I think you have a point too. A lot of basically all Democrats would vote to legalize cannabis. So I'm not going to speak on that. But conservatives, there is a good percentage. I mean, it's very close to being able to pass, but those few that are not allowing it to pass are, one, like you said, they're older, they don't want change, they want it to be exactly what they feel is correct in their head and right in their head, even though they may be using cannabis on the side. But
they all had children that were kids in the 60s and 70s. Many of them were teenagers in the 60s and 70s. Do not lie to us, sir. You know,
if they are a politician who does use it, the reasoning then, probably like you were mentioning, is that there is another profit for them. So they are doing something for them. And so the profit may be to put people in prisons, and then they're getting kickbacks from those prisons, or have some stake in those prisons. But there are good politicians out there, like I said. And if we go back to the whole AIDS crisis, HIV crisis, Harvey Milk is another person. I know a lot of us know who Harvey Milk is, but if you don't, look him up. We might do a whole episode on him because he has a really interesting, sadly, young life in politics. But he was involved in politics in San Francisco. And he also was a public figure at the period of time who really was promoting legislation that legalized cannabis, and was out there on the forefront, involved in cannabis distribution and kind of helping those within the community get what they needed to get. And those are the type of politicians that we really need, is those who want to get involved on the grassroots level and really help people and not do something for themselves. And unfortunately, even Democrats a lot of times once you get power, power takes over you wanting to like really help. So you could have like the person who had been involved in Groundroots effort and helping people, but a lot of times when someone gets power, no matter who they are, it kind of takes over.
Sorry, COVID.
It kind of takes over. And yeah. So I feel like I just wanted to like mention this topic because I thought it was an interesting topic that cannabis and LGBTQ kind of were very right. connected at the early.
Well, and it's a topic that it kind of winds in with so many other things. You know, it's been present in the background, everything, you know, from the AIDS crisis to along with gay rights, we're always put up there right with it. You know, treatment for as pain, as recreation, medically. I mean, as things were medically starting to turn in the last 10 to 15 years, I mean, I remember being in high school seeing ads for it, like, you know, like studies and some clinical studies that were promoted on the news. And my grandparents were very supportive of it. I didn't know they were basically stoned my entire childhood. So I thought it was rather hypocritical the way I got treated. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. You know, they were just convinced I was. And I'm like, I wasn't, I literally wasn't. I just, you know, it just wasn't my thing. So it was like, but they like couldn't believe that. Like, I'm like, fuck.
You know, I think you look at capitalism here in America. Obviously, it's legalized cannabis in many states now, recreationally and then others medically. But despite the LGBTQ community being at the forefront of kind of like pushing legalization of cannabis and kind of like helping change the feelings on cannabis, there's a lower percentage of LGBTQ owned cannabis stores because you have a lot of larger companies that have come in and have obviously taken over and capitalism
became profitable.
So yeah, just to wrap up, I think the important things on this topic are vote for people who you know, you want to represent you on the topics that you want to be of importance. And then also, I guess just a side note, support cannabis legalization. And again, new episodes every Wednesday. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
So, hey guys, we want to remind everyone that you can keep in touch with us on all of our social media channels, whether that is Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can do all of that at the ComaCast.
And we definitely love to interact and hear from all of our listeners. All of this is not possible without you guys.
And if you don't mind rating our podcast on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast provider is, just leave a comment. It's greatly appreciated.
And thank you for joining us.
See you next time.